The Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg tells this story. She says, "One day, a friend called to ask if we could meet. Knowing that I was writing a book on faith from the Buddhist perspective, she was confused and wanted to talk. How can you possibly be writing a book on faith without focusing on God?" she demanded. "Isn't that the whole point?" Salzberg continues, "My friend's concern," she says, "spoke to the common understanding we have of faith, that it is synonymous with belief. But the tendency to equate faith with doctrine and then argue about terminology and concepts distracts us from what faith is actually about. In my understanding, whether faith is connected to a deity or not, its essence lies in trusting ourselves to discover the deepest truths on which we can rely. I want to invite a new use of the word faith, one that is not associated with a dogmatic religious interpretation or divisiveness. I want to encourage delight in the word, to help reclaim faith as a fresh, vibrant, intelligent, and liberating." So what about for you? Is faith a word that you embrace? Denounce? What does it mean for you? Sometimes, we Unitarian Universalists, especially those of us who have left the religion of our upbringing, see faith as superstition, as the silly and naive enemy of reason. This is likely to be because, in most circles, we have equated faith with belief. As in, I believe in such and such religious doctrine, and I have faith in it. But belief and faith are not the same, even though they sometimes overlap. Belief is more of a mental stance. Faith comes from the Latin word fides, which means to trust. So to discover our faith, we can ask ourselves, as we move through the world, in what do we place our trust? How do we orient ourselves to the world and our place in it? Belief is about what we think and can put into words. Faith goes much deeper, encompasses much more, and often cannot be put into words. Whether we know it or not, faith directs our thinking, our feeling, our acting, our very being in the world. So the truth is, we all have faith, even if it is an unexamined, unconscious faith, even if it is a superficial faith or a faith that ultimately does not serve us. The Unitarian, Ralph Waldo Emerson, said, and this is a reading in the back of our hymnal if it sounds familiar to you, he said, "A person will worship something. Have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will out. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship. For what we are worshiping, we are becoming." So Emerson says what we worship, but he could have also said what we trust, what we orient ourselves toward, what we commit to, what we have faith in. Here's some further questions to help discern our faith, these by the theologian James Fowler. I'll read them slowly to offer you just a second to reflect. What are you spending and being spent for? What commands and receives your best time, your best energy? What power or powers do you rely on and trust? What are your most sacred hopes and purposes? So James Fowler is known for his work on the stages of faith. So here I'm going to get into a little bit of a teaching sermon. So I have some slides for you. So James Fowler's stages are developmental, which means that one stage, and there's six of them, that one stage must follow the other. But the progress is not like a ladder, but more of a spiral, which means wherever we are on the spiral, we always contain earlier stages as well, and we can bring those parts with us or shift outward again before we continue again inward. Each stage is important, and the questions we ask give us gifts that we then carry in our satchel for our journey, taking them out when the time is right. So one of my colleagues describes these stages using the story or the myth of Santa Claus. So here we go. Stage one, intuitive projective faith, is typically ages 3 to 7. And those of you who are parents in the room, you might find yourself reflecting on this on yet another level. So stage one faith is faith that is caught. A child absorbs the attitudes, ideas, and beliefs of their caregivers. So reality and fantasy intermix. This is the time when Santa is very real, no doubt about it. And Santa makes good things happen, like giving us just what we asked for in that letter, or bad things happen, like coal in our stocking. Stage two, mythic literal faith, is typically early elementary to the onset of puberty. It is faith that's taught and taken quite literally. The stories, beliefs, rules, and attitudes. Deities are often anthropomorphized, so given human characteristics, and many, many questions are asked. So details, please. So how many elves exactly does Santa have, and how does he get down the chimney exactly? There's also an emphasis on fairness and justice with accompanying retribution. So I remember when I was of this age counting how many presents I had received and comparing that with what my siblings and step-siblings had received. Stage three, synthetic conventional faith is typically puberty to late teens and early 20s, and it's faith that's bought, as in we buy in to the group or system. We're very interested in this stage in what others think, and the feeling of belonging to a tribe is very important. Fowler calls this stage conformist. So in this stage, a person usually adopts some sort of all-encompassing belief system and has a hard time seeing outside their box. They can't recognize that there are other belief systems or that theirs is a belief system. So doubt is seen as threatening, and inconsistencies are ignored because it becomes part of your identity, part of your tribe. You lose it, you lose all of this. Stage four, individuate reflective faith, is faith that's sought. This is a radical shift in this stage from dependence on others to independence, but it can be very difficult. This is Santa unmasked. It's differentiating from our family and background to create our own personal beliefs. But we can find that complexity is difficult. This stage is often about leaving something behind, about I am not that. So we may feel some betrayal. We may be absolutist and critical of others who don't get this new understanding, like the older sibling making fun of the younger one who still believes in Santa. In this stage, we also feel our faith is very personal. It's very individualistic. And this stage is where we often get stuck. And I'll come back to that in a minute. So stage five is conjunctive faith. And Fowler says that stage five and the next one, stage six, are rare. So in conjunctive faith, we are exploring other stories and rituals, in this case, parallel to the Santa story. We see that logic has limits, and we value paradox and mystery. We may see many sides of an issue at the same time, and we may reclaim traditions with new eyes, finding deeper truth in the symbols, stories, and rituals. There's a sense of belonging to the whole and that all paths are meaningful. And there's humility, The idea that I could be wrong about this. And because of that, faith is not seen as primarily personal and individual, but deeply reliant on interdependence and community. So the idea that we can't do faith alone. So stage six, that's backwards, which we do sometimes, and it's not necessarily regression, but it's needing to go back. So in this stage, you don't necessarily become Santa. But stage six is universalizing faith. And Fowler says this stage is very rare. These people are sages and wisdom teachers, leaders and martyrs, who live a life of deep commitment and passion. So here, maybe the Santa story, or the more so the myths and traditions, the stories are still there. But the person not only can see the deeper meaning in the stories, but they can actually incarnate them, kind of manifest them through their living in the world, just as they are. So it's about love and justice. So I said we'd come back to the place where we often get stuck. So stage four, remember this is the stage where we've gotten out of the box and are asking lots of questions. And because we've often left the tradition we grew up in, we're usually on our own. So we're feeling very personal and individual. And it's also very much about control and kind of controlling our journey and what's in our heads. So here's an image that a UU religious educator created to explore how we can move from being stuck in this fourth stage into this. So I described each of those first four stages with these words, caught, taught, bought, and sought. In the fifth stage, we say that faith is wrought, which is an old word that means worked. So here, faith is active and done in community. So abiding faith gives itself shape as we work in the world with others. So you can here see the tools of creation. There's the hammer and the brush, the pencil and the pin and the wrench. So here faith is strong because it is resilient. It's malleable. It's workable. It's broken and repaired. It's tested and renewed, shaped together. And some say that faith needs to be wrought at all of these stages. So to capture the learnings of each stage and really take them to heart, we need to do this at every stage, whether we're 3-year-olds or 16-year-olds. So Mohandas Gandhi said, "Faith is not something to grasp, an idea. It's a state to grow into." So that growth happens through living and working and creating our faith in the world, with the world. But it can be hard for us as Unitarian Universalists because faith is often something beyond our control. And as UUs, we sometimes rest on our laurels. The gifts of UUs, of Unitarian Universalists, gifts to the world, which truly are gifts, have been about the importance of doubt, about reason being essential, and about the individual being important. Sometimes we can stop there and rest there. Sometimes we resist the temptation to grow into a place also, not either or, but also of faith, of mystery, and of community. So we resist this movement because we fear, sometimes based on our previous experiences, that this will cause us to lose control and maybe to regress into that superstitious faith, those flights of fancy, that naivete. But we do also have in our tradition faith statements that we can rely on. The arc of the universe bends towards justice. It's a faith statement. The social problems we face are not greater than our collective power to solve them. The personal burdens we carry are not greater than our resilience. We are loved, a faith statement. The world can be better. These are all statements that can't easily be backed up by objective proof, airtight logic, or individual experience. And yet we lean into them anyway. We risk living as if they were true. We leap. So a faith that is wrought helps us navigate our days, especially the hard times, with more hope, with more grace. So to develop that faith, we can take the leap into doing the work, into joining alongside one another despite our differences and our fears, into taking a risk, into trusting again, all these things that I have seen us do all the time. So next week, I'll talk about more specifics about spiritual practices to nurture that growing faith and how our UU tradition invites us into that sacred work. But right now, I'll close how I began with words from Sharon Salzberg. We have all the absolute right to reach out without holding back toward what we care about more than anything, whether we describe that reaching out as towards God or a profound sense of indestructible love or the dream of a kinder world. It is in the act, not the thinking, but the act of offering our hearts in faith that something in us transforms. We don't stand on the sidelines, but leap directly into the center of our lives, our truth, our full potential. No one can take that leap of faith for us, and no one has to. This is our journey of faith. May it be so.